Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer that this message will help you live in focus every day. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
We're going to tackle over the next several weeks, we're going to tackle several tough topics, beginning with one this morning. It's always fun to bring up topics that are difficult and challenging and personal, and you can feel the air go out of the room. And you're thinking, oh, dear Jesus, it's going to be a long morning. This morning is one of those, I guess you could say. In the coming weeks, we are going to talk about gossip. So you'll want to tell everyone about it and bring them with you. It'll be good. All right. We're going to talk about adultery. We're going to talk about sexual purity. We're going to talk about greed. So I figure it's summertime, and I looked at the five-day forecast. Temperatures are going to start to rise and get a little bit uncomfortable. So I said, well, let's just bring it into the church house and have some uncomfortable heat-rising topics, all right? And so that's kind of in the future when we talk about adultery and sexual purity. It'll be in a couple weeks. So you know, if you're a parent, you're like, oh, I don't know if I should bring my kid to church that day. Hey, we'll talk in a way that's appropriate and like PG-13 appropriate. And we're going to keep it honest and we're going to keep it real. And we're not going to sweep anything under the rug, but we're going to talk and see what the Lord has to say about these areas. But today, I want to talk to you about your words. How many know our words are powerful, right? Very, very powerful. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 16, 24 says that pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And I began to think about this week through my life, just scenarios that have occurred, you know, people that have spoken into my life that you know, maybe were reckless words that man just pierced and they hurt and they were hard and maybe weren't communicated in the best way that possibly could have been communicated to me. I think about coaches that did that. I think about, you know, pastors that I worked for that did that, and just kind of, man, you could just feel the air go out of you. We've all had that happen where you're just like, oh, crud, am I really that bad? There's two kinds of pains when we talk about words. One is a pain of words that were spoken, the pain of words that were spoken, and you know, those are the words when people say something to you, man, it just like daggers you. And then there are the pain of words that were never spoken. The I love you, I'm proud of you, I'm so pleased in who and what you're becoming. It's the pain of omission, if you will. And it's the pain of those words that were spoken. And this is what Solomon is saying, is that reckless words have the ability to strike a death blow into the heart of a person. All of us have experienced that. Even this morning, as we walk through that, you're sitting here. There's some that are sitting here this morning in conversations of words that have spoken to you, maybe even years ago, pop up in your mind. All of us have spoken them. Because you've seen the look into your kid's eyes, into your spouse's eye, into a colleague or a friend's eyes when you spoke something and you saw the life just kind of pass through their eyes. We've all received them. James, the brother of Jesus, has insight into this. Go to with me to, I told you to go to Proverbs. Hold your hand in Proverbs. Flip over to James chapter 3. You may want to mark Matthew chapter 12 as well, but we'll get there eventually to Matthew. But this is great insight in James chapter 3. It's very familiar to most of us. Words have meaning. Words are powerful. Words are like weapons in your hand. They can be protective or they can be destructive. You have a powerful arsenal, right? at your disposal. Fortunately, it's gated. Most of us have 32 teeth. Some of us may not have that many yet anymore, but most of us have 32 teeth in our mouth. And sometimes, though, those words slip through, right? And you're like, oh, I didn't catch it in time. Some of you are really quick thinking on your feet. How many of you are just like, man, you're just a quick thinker? I'm not raising my hand, right? And some of you are sharp and you're able to respond and have an intellectual response to almost any topic that's put before you that you find yourself engaging in, and you win those conversations. I mean, you can out-argue a lot of people. For those of us that aren't that way, 30 minutes after the conversation, you're rehashing the conversation and you're like, oh man, if I was still there, I would say this to you right now. Oh man, I should have said this and I would have won. The white flag would have went out. I would have had it. But for those of us that are quick to speak, quick on our feet, can I remind you, not that you have forgotten, that your words mean something. They are powerful. Make sure that you are building up and not about winning your point. Criticism is a nasty relational companion. When we allow criticism to be the sail that drives our with others, the relationship will eventually break down, and if not corrected, it will destroy it. Steve, are you saying that if there's something that needs to be corrected that we can't speak? No, but how you speak it is absolutely essential. We become emotionally detached when that criticism stuff starts rising up. You can say you're sorry for the words that you spoke, but the damage takes a long time to heal over. So James chapter 3, verse 1, James knew this and he writes this: not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Why? Because of the words that you're speaking. Why is it? It's because the influence of the person's words, it's a humbling thing to stand before you and preach and teach the gospel. It's a scary thing. Verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man. He's able to keep his whole body in check. In other words, if you can harness your tongue, you can keep yourself out of a lot of bad decisions. Financially, sexually, relationally, anger. Verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take the ship as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they steer by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. Verse 8, underline this, but no man can tame the tongue. No matter how disciplined you may be, how holy you may feel, you can't do it. Eventually, it's going to slip up. And that feels hopeless. James goes on to say it's a restless evil full of deadly poison. To me, it's interesting. This is a totally different message on its own, but it's interesting to me that God offers us salvation through Jesus Christ, his son. He makes his home within us, Corinthians tells us. But then he takes it a step further. After salvation, he says this: listen, go to Jerusalem, wait, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to receive with that baptism the evidence of speaking in new tongues. James says, no man can tame the tongue. But God says, through the empowerment and through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to use that thing. I'm going to take, if you will, control of it and empower you. That's a whole other message that I could go off on, but I won't. So verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Underline this: can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? James, the brother of Jesus, is repeating something that he heard Jesus say months, years ago. It's about the source. We have to keep that in mind because it's a big deal. verse 12, my brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Again, it's about the source. James says no man can tame the tongue. That's a little depressing. So there's two big ideas I want to throw at you this morning. The first one is this, close your mouth. If you're having a hard time saying the right thing, then try saying nothing for a while. You may want to be aware of your nonverbals as well, right? Because you can communicate a lot with nonverbals. And so is it possible, to, according to Proverbs in Scripture, to guard your mouth? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 says this, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. I love that. For those of us in the room that aren't talkers, that is good news because people think you're wise, right? In other words, it's our responsibility, and we have the ability to be quiet when we need to be. We have the ability, you have the ability to control your tongue. Your tongue shouldn't control us. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Where does it come from? The heart. No wonder week one of our Proverbs series, we camped out in Proverbs 4:23. It's that which is taking off. I mean, sometimes a good plane takes off from your heart. Sometimes it's a plane with defect. That's what takes off. But it's the heart. It's the wellspring of life. And you have the ability to pause and consider what you're about to say. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers. But the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. And that's why I'm so, I've been so slow in responding. My family's had some conversations about this last week, but man, I've been really slow in responding to people just because I want to weigh this thing out. I want to flush it out. As you look at James, as you look at Proverbs, do you see the water illustration? It's like the broken pipe, that sink that is just running over. It just keeps gushing, right? What does the righteous person do? They pause and they weigh their answer, while the wicked person, it just sprays and they just gush and they're just like, well, there. Proverbs 17:27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Man, again, I love that. Be comfortable with silence. Because according to Proverbs, if people think you're smart, if you're slow to speak, be reflective. Think about what you're going to say. Think about how you're going to respond. Our tendency is to try to impress people. And so we just start talking. Eventually I'll say something great. It's like what Lou Holtz said, the great coach from Notre Dame. He said, I talk until I say something. Right? I was talking with an individual this past week, and he had preached at his church not too long ago, and it was kind of a spontaneous thing, and he was telling me, man, our services, they last. They go into the afternoon. Because they just get with it. And I said, well, I'm going to try that this Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. And I was like, man, preachers can go and go. But we would be wise if we weigh our words. Amen? I just gave you a great opportunity to amen your pastor. I'm being short. Have you ever found yourself thinking, Steve, why are you talking? I mean, having that conversation with yourself, why are you saying that? Not you asking me, I'm asking you if you have that conversation with yourself. Why are you saying anything about that? What about the people who operate with the attitude of, hey, well, you will never have to guess what I'm thinking. I just let it all out. You never have to guess what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling. I just put it out there, and everyone knows about it, and How many think a little mystery is sometimes nice? Right? Learn to be comfortable with silence. You don't always have to give your opinion about something or someone. Filter. If your words or your thoughts aren't going to produce life, okay, listen. Maybe you want to write this down. If your words or your thoughts are not going to produce life, bury them. Just let them go. Think about how is this going to be heard? Is there a better way or a wiser way that I can say this so that it'll be a blessing? Weigh your answers and be wise. In doing so, you know what? We may have to be quiet. This is a discipline and a sign of maturity. Often having to feel like you need to talk all the time is a sign of insecurity. And I love what James says in James chapter 1, verse 19. My brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. In other words, the less you talk, the better you're able to process. And the better you process, the more likely you are not going to respond in anger. You're listening, you're processing, you're not reacting, and you let God do a work in your heart so you're just not, and just going after somebody. Did you know that it's a scientific fact, I've heard, that when you get angry, how many of your face just starts lighting up? You know, your face gets all red, your earlobes start tweaking and turning red, right? And things just happen. Do you know that scientifically they say that you lose, in those moments when you get so that way, you lose the ability to hear? And you're more concerned about your words and what you're saying? Be slow to speak. Secondly, check your heart. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Remember, we referenced in James that James had heard his brother Jesus say something that Matthew writes about. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, it says this, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Remember what James said in verses 3:12? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Back to Jesus' words, verse 34, the brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. So, which is huge. What have you allowed to be stored up in your heart? I mean, that's, you know, side, but that's what Jesus is referencing. So Jesus says, we store stuff up in our heart, don't we? You and I, we store stuff up in here. And eventually, that stuff's going to come out, right? Have you ever been caught? It'll eventually come out, whether it's good or whether it's bad. It's going to come up. We're all stuffers in some way. We all have thoughts and behaviors and that we've allowed to be stored up in our heart. And we've all experienced the times where we've been caught. When that stuff, we can't stuff anymore in there, and all of a sudden it's just a poof. And everyone looks at you like, man, where did that come from? It's just from here. It all began by storing up a thought, and you believe something to be true about somebody, and so you stored it up inside your mind, and when you're around that person, you ever experienced this, they aggravate you, right? They frustrate you, and guess what's going to come out of your heart? That which you've stored up. Have you ever done that? Don't you hate that? It's scary, isn't it? It's called, you know what it's called? Oftentimes, majority of the times, it's called carrying an offense. Where someone has done something to us, and we make a mental note of that, and we stuff it in there. And then down the road, something happens that triggers that, and it comes out of us because we've stuffed it. Jesus goes on to say, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Told you it was going to be fun today, right? Verse 36, but I tell you that the man will have to give an account. But I tell you that man will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Wow. In the theater of your mind, just imagine that day. Can you imagine how slow that line is going to go for some people? Right? I wonder if there's like some fast passes like Disney has that you can pick up. You know, think about those words of Jesus, because Jesus said this. It wasn't the apostles. It wasn't some other guy. This is Jesus saying what I just read to you. Those careless words are going to be accounted for. What does that mean? Are our words the basis of our salvation? No, absolutely not. Not at all. It's just that your words are reliable evidence of our salvation. What do your words say about your salvation? I think as we process situations and we head into conversations, and sometimes they're difficult conversations and sometimes they're hard conversations, what are the words that I'm going to speak into this situation? What evidence of salvation do they bring to this situation? Because our words should always be about producing life, right? Even when you have hard conversations, and listen, we've all had those situations, whether it be with loved ones, whether it be with church family, whether it be in business situations or in school situations or in the locker room, where we've had to have hard conversations, and the motive of our heart should always be redemptive. It should always be life-giving. True? And if we can't enter into a conversation without that filter foremost in front of us, then we need to pull back and make sure that our heart's right before we enter into that conversation. What do they pronounce, redeemed or unredeemed? We can't be careless with our words, because words are more than just consonants and vowels, aren't they? What we speak reflects what's in our heart. So Scripture says that you and I must guard our heart, because from it all the issues of life flow. Proverbs 4:23, that's a paraphrase that. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:6 or Matthew 5:8, it's a life verse of mine, blessed are the pure in heart, for why? They will see God. We will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless spoken word. I can't help but think we need, as I read that, I can't help but think we need to get back to some good old-fashioned fear of God. Amen? That was a great opportunity to say amen. And in many ways, we've lost that. We've lost that. When church folks say, hey, whatever a person does, that's up to them, and da-da-da-da-da, listen, that speaks of a heart that doesn't fear God, that is comfortable with unrighteousness and sin. And it's not that we're not the judges of anybody, I understand that, but yet there has to be this thing, this fire within us that says, man, God, I want to live my life in a way that pleases you, with the words that I speak, with the things that I watch, with where I go and what I do. There's power in words. Think back to the Garden of Eden, if you will, just to illustrate this. Adam was given the privilege and the challenge of naming all the animals, right? And so he starts out, and we have hippopotamuses because of Adam. We have duck-billed platypuses because of Adam. Rhinoceroses because of Adam. And the day got long, and the line was even longer. And all of a sudden, it turned to blackbird. Redbird, big mouth bass. And it got really boring. Parents, can I just say this to us parents? What you say in private about your kids can come true. You don't have to say it to them, and I hope you don't say it to them. You can say it about them, and they may not even know that you've said it, and those words are powerful. As I look back over the years of us parenting, and by no means are we masters, and our kids will tell you that we've made plenty of mistakes, and they don't need to amen that, but Robin and I, as we dove into this thing, there's this term that's out there. How old's your kid? Oh, he's 2. Poor you. You're heading into the terrible 2s. And we were like, no, absolutely not. No. And can I tell you that those years were absolutely incredible? There was no such thing. And we were like, no way, not in our home. Well, how old's your kid? Oh, he's going to be 13 next week. I remember when I was 13, my kid was terrible. People warned me about that, you know, and yeah, they were absolutely right. He was terrible. I can't tell you what. Our kids are past that age now, and it was a blast. There is power in what you speak over your kids. I said it before, man, I'm speaking over my kids. You are gonna be a million-dollar football player. Because I want to go to Hawaii, right? But there's power. We laugh, we kid around. But there's power in what you're speaking over your kids, with them or without them in the room. Be wise with your words, parents. Speak life, speak favor, speak blessing over them. That's what Jesus is saying. Look at what Jesus says next in verse 37. For by your words, you will be acquitted. You aren't passing judgment over your kids by what you say. In other words, I want to be acquitted by my words. You? The world says your kids are going to be rebellious when they're teenagers. You say, I acquit them of that. They're not going to be guilty of that. Acquitted or guilty by my words. That is why my words matter. That is why your words matter. In all areas of life, they matter. That is why what you speak about Life Point Church matters. Whether it's in private, whether it's in public, it matters. What you say about the tribe of people that you're associated with matters. It's huge. And unless I miss my guess, all of us desire to know we have people that are standing with us, that are fighting for us, fighting shoulder to shoulder, standing shoulder to shoulder with us. That is why it's so powerful that we weigh our heart, that we don't let it become corrupt, that we weigh our words and check our heart. Because the truth is that our mouths will always betray us. We can't blame other people for what comes out of our mouth. We can only blame ourselves. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame your spouse. You can't blame your upbringing because it comes from your heart. Here's the deal. Our heart's to blame. We can't store things up there because if you store them up, guess what? It's going to come out. Let good things come out of our heart. What are you speaking over the generations that are around you? Oh, those old people, man, they're all the same. Gripe, 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 gripe. Oh, those younger generations, man, we are in trouble. It's my responsibility to store up good things in my heart so that good things come out. Can I ask you this morning? What have you stored up? All you have to do is listen to yourself. Listen to others, because your mouth will always betray your heart. Guess what happens? Pressures of life will eventually squeeze it out of you. Right? It'll eventually come. Great prayer is, God, show me my heart. Two challenges as we wrap this up this morning. Challenge number one. For some of us here, we need to apologize for things that you've said. I mean, I'm not trying to work this up for any of us, but if, as you sit here this morning and you're thinking, man, yeah, I said something to my spouse, I said something to my kid or to whoever, and I never went back to them, and I never fessed up, and I never asked their forgiveness. Can I ask you to do that? Obviously, not for my sake, but for your heart's sake. Secondly, you say, well, what happens if you've been hurt by words, but you've never been apologized to? That's tough. Because we've all been there. Sometimes people speak words to you and they don't even know that it cut, huh? I think Scripture would charge us to walk in grace. And that's not easy. And that sounds like a really easy answer. But I want to think on those things that are right, those things that are pure, so that when you see that person, you can bless that person who spoke something wrong to you. You know, because the greatest fear that I have as a pastor is that you can be in a room with people that have spoken wrongly to one another, and they both know it, or sometimes one doesn't know it, but it's there. And they never go, listen, the healthiest thing that you can do is to go to that person at times, when the time is right, when your heart is right, because listen, your heart has to be right when you enter into those conversations. But to go to them and repent, because if you mess up, you fess up. Go to them and extend grace. If someone comes to you and repents, what is your responsibility? To justify your reaction to them? Absolutely not. Your responsibility is to grant repentance and to receive their forgiveness or extend forgiveness and receive their apology. That is your responsibility. Period. And then to pray together. Because I always tell people that I do premarital counseling with is the most intimate times that Robin and I have together. This is my opinion, is when we're praying together. Because she knows me, and my Heavenly Father knows me, and I can't pull the wool over either of their eyes. And if I'm praying junk, the right stuff, she knows and God knows. So my heart has to be pure when I'm praying. It's a beautiful thing, guys. When we walk that way, when we walk in obedience to Scripture. Amen? It's a beautiful thing when we don't let this get us in trouble. When we swallow our pride, when we gate it, and when we're really intentional about speaking words of life, even in those hard conversations. And may God give us all the wisdom and the favor and the grace to do that. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, Lord, thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word and for the attentiveness of your people as we walk through a challenging discussion, challenging topic, because the reality is all of us here this morning have stand guilty of speaking words that didn't bring life. Sometimes, Lord, we've been guilty of not saying anything, and that's just as bad. So Lord, I pray for each and every one of us as we build an altar right where we're at, that you would sanctify our heart, purify our heart, so that our words will be pure. And God, may we be so humble that when we speak something, that we would be, Holy Spirit, you would be so quick to gently convict us. Lord, if we need to be hit upside the head with conviction, then so be it. But God, I want Life Point to live its name, to be life. And God, part of that life stems from the words that we speak. Lord, it would be a beautiful thing if there is even conversations that would happen here this morning, sovereignly by your calendar, by your appointment, by your divine promptings, where if conversations needed to be had, where forgiveness needed to be received and apologies needed to be extended, so that healing, and so that when we look in each other's eyes, there's not this prickliness that would rise up within us. But God, our hearts would be pure. Our motives would be pure. Church, would you stand with me? I would encourage all of us to be responsive to that which the Lord has prompted you in this morning, how the Lord has spoken to you. I believe that Scripture is authoritative, that it convicts, that it corrects, that it guides us. And if the Lord has spoken anything to you this morning and you can take care of business here with that issue, and if you have not done so, do it. Don't put it off. If you need to go to somebody, do it. Don't put it off. Someone comes to you, they come in, it's your job to extend grace. Amen? It's by grace you've been saved. It's by grace you live. Grace, grace. Wonderful grace.
Everybody dance. Everybody, this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.